is a child dedication and an opportunity where these parents get a chance. Why don't you scoot down just a little bit more, Titus and Alexis? And an opportunity to present their children before you. After this, we're going to have some testimonies of some individuals who have recently trusted Christ or have trusted Christ in recent years, and they want to give a public testimony of their salvation in Christ. And then afterwards, the baptism, which we're going to have about 9-10 baptisms at the Adventureland Inn. So not everyone's going to share their testimony, but about 4 people will be sharing their testimony. So, okay, what a good-looking crew. I'm going to face them for a little bit, and then I'm going to face you. So if you have crying kids, guys, it's okay if they cry. It's okay if they get squirmy. It's okay if they do any of those things, because we love kids. Amen? Do we not love kids? About a month or so ago, my son, Bo, and I were having a conversation. And I love speaking with my kids. I love kids. I have 5 of them. I better love kids. And me and my son were talking, having one of our deep theological questions and question and answer sessions. And my son came up to me and he said, "Dad, if I shot somebody through your cell phone, would they get hit in the ear?" And I just am so appreciative of great conversations with my kids. I share that because I want you to know that we love kids. That I love kids. And this church loves kids. And so child dedication is an opportunity where it's not an opportunity for me to challenge the kids. Okay? The kids are not going to listen to me. Well, some of them will. Cade will listen. He's clapping already. Some of them will listen to me. But this child dedication is really an opportunity for me to speak into the lives of the parents. And so that's what child dedication is all about. It's also an opportunity for them to introduce their children to you. See, we love children at High Point Church. And so as they make commitments before you, the church's opportunity is to hold them accountable to the commitments they are making before you. So child dedication is a very important time because we want you to know how much we care for the children, and we want to encourage these parents that we're going to help them. We're going to encourage them with the word. But let's listen real quick, or let's look at a couple of verses real quick on what God says about children. You know, today, if you don't know, is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And it's opportunity to rejoice in human life. And so that's why every year we'll do a child dedication during this great Sunday, not only representing these children, but all children. God says in Psalm 127, verse 3, He says that children are a gift from God. He's not going to put that up there, but that's what Psalm 127, verse 3 says. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." The Bible also says that God values every single child, even the unborn child. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Psalm 139, verse 13 says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." I want you to know that we love children and value all children, even the unborn child. You know, we live in a culture where children are just tossed to the side, where they're murdered before they're even born. We value children. We value the unborn, and we value the ones who represent up here, because God does. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," in Matthew 19, verse 17, or 14. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for so belongs the kingdom of heaven." We are in the business at High Point not to hinder these children. I love the noise of children, do you not? We are not going to hinder the children. We are going to tell them about Jesus Christ. And so we get into, real quick, my chance to speak. I'm going to turn my back. Don't be offended. Okay? In my opportunity to speak with you guys, parents. And I'm going to just introduce, if you don't mind, I'm going to try and name every single child up here. Oh, maybe not. Okay. Kent and Cherith with Maya and with Emma. I knew that. Maya and Emma and Kent and Cherith. Alexis and Titus and their beautiful little girl. I just went blank. This is terrible. Caitlin, duh! All right, you knew that. You totally knew that. Dan and Shanda and Micah, Jens and Jamie and Jesselyn, and Greg and Kristen and their boy Cade, and we got Jamie and Rebecca and Tanner and Abby. I knew that. I'm just going with Sam. I know all the rest of them. Dan and Crystal and Sam, and obviously Chris and Alicia and Evelyn and Hannah and Andy and Maddox and Hindley and Kurt and Jalen. Okay? Praise the Lord. And they're going to tell me later you totally messed up their names. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9, it says this. Now listen, parents, because this is what Moses said to the nation of Israel as he was speaking to the parents. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by your way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is a challenge that Moses did to the parents of the Israel nation. And I want to just highlight a couple of things. The first thing, in verse 5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Parents, do you notice that Moses doesn't go right into telling them what to do? He goes right into highlighting their relationship with God. Before your children will ever listen to a word you say, they are going to watch the actions of your faith in Jesus Christ. Every single one of you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And your children will watch you. Your children will watch your actions and your faith in action. And so I want to encourage you that way. That before I challenge you, as Moses challenged Israel, he said, how's your relationship with God? Because that will stem everything else. What does he say? He says, teach them diligently. The word teach and diligently in the Hebrew really means to sharpen a sword. Now, it doesn't just mean take a rock and take a sword and boom, 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 and here we go, let's go. No, the Hebrew word meant to precisely sharpen that tool because it's going to be used for a mighty work. God wants you, parents, to know that you need to teach your children diligently. It takes time to sharpen a blade. This is a lifelong commitment. And you parents out there that are older, did you stop being a parent when they left the home? Of course not. It is a lifelong commitment. Teach them diligently. Talk of them. Now, what is he saying? He's saying talk of them, meaning the scriptures. You need to be in the Word to teach the Word. And I challenge you, parents, be in the Word of God and teach them the commands of God. Your words are a burden, says Jeremiah. His word is sufficient to teach your children. I challenge you to be in the Word of God so you can talk of them to your children. Be ready, it says, all the time, when you lie down, when you rise up. The purpose there is to say that at all moments, at all times, when the kids come into your room at 5 a.m, be ready. Be ready for their questions. I promise you, they're coming. And some of them are not that age yet, but they will come with questions. And you need to know the Word of God. Be ready. It says, bind them on your hands and the frontlets of your eyes. The Hebrews would, they would tie Scripture to their wrists and their foreheads. So it would be constantly on their minds. So bind the Word to your hearts so that you can be ready to share Scripture with them. And it says to write them on the doorposts of your house. The Jewish people would actually have a box called the mezuzah, which they would actually, it was a metal box they would put on their doorpost. And every day as they walked out of their house, they would remember that in that box was Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. So that they would be constantly remembering the commands of God. Remember the commands of God. Write them on the doorpost of your house. Surround your house with Scripture. I'm going to read real quick. At this time, just, I want you to answer with I do. Individually as an I do. Now, from this commitment, it's from our curriculum, Desiring God, which is the curriculum we use to teach your kids. And so listen to this and repeat with I do. And church, listen to them. Do you today recognize these children as the gifts of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing in your life? Speak up. Do you pledge as parents that with God's help, you will bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord in their lives? Do you promise to provide through God's blessings for the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual needs of your children, looking to your Heavenly Father for wisdom, for love, for strength, to serve them and not to use them? And finally, do you promise, with God's help, to make it a regular prayer? Listen to this. To make it a regular prayer that by God's grace, your children will come to trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to them, even eternal life, and in this faith, follow Jesus as Lord and obey His teachings. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these children. Thank You, God, that You have blessed them with great gifts. And Lord, my prayer is that You would raise up among these children pastors, missionaries, servants of God for Your glory, for Your purpose in their lives. And God, give the parents strength to live out the commands in Deuteronomy 6 for Your glory. Lord, You deserve all the glory. And we dedicate these children. We dedicate these parents for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you guys go back, Casey's going to give you a gift. We have a big picture Bible book that we want to give you guys. And thank you for coming up here. And once again, give them a round of applause. And then you guys can be seated. Matt, come on up.
Come and see His glory. Come just as you are. Come and hear the story of His Son. God so loved his children that he gave his own son, that we might be forgiven. Death has been overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the God of our salvation. You have conquered, you have risen. You are the God of our salvation. Come, you tired and weary, come just as you are. Come and let his mercy heal your heart. God so loved his children that he gave his only son, that we might be forgiven. Death has been overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the God of our salvation. You have conquered, you have risen. You are the God of our salvation. Holy, holy.
Psalm 66, verse 16, one of my favorite verses in Scripture says, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. You know, at this time, we're going to bring up some people, and Rebecca, if you can make your way on up here. Now is an opportunity where there's going to be four testimonies. They're going to give you a brief testimony of their salvation, of them being able to tell you what God has done for their souls. And Rebecca will be the first one. I'm going to turn this on. And she is going to tell you what God has done for her soul.
My name is Rebecca, and this is my testimony. I have been a sinner all my life. Before I accepted Christ into my life, it was in shambles and out of control. I grew up in the church because I was forced to go because of my grandparents every Sunday. My parents were divorced. My dad wasn't much around in my life growing up, only because he had to per the courts. My mom is an alcoholic depressant who mentally and physically abused us as a child and left my brother to fend for ourselves. My brother and I to fend for ourselves. I began down a road of seeking self-gratification and pleasures of my own world. My actions hurt my family and friends, but I didn't see it at the time. New Year's Eve 2001, I was arrested, and because of that, I almost lost custody of my son. I did so many things, not realizing the impact my actions were on other people. I was married the first time at age 22 and had my first son, Jordan.
on January 23rd, 2000. During the entire marriage, I felt trapped. And all I wanted to do was go out and party and drinking with my friends. All my friends were single, and all I wanted to do was be out with them and not be home. I wasn't living the life the way I wanted. So I ended my marriage, and during that process fell deeper into sin. This is when I met my current husband, Jamie. I was on top of the world because he was just like me, but Satan was still lingering. October 9th, 2004, we were married, and it was one of the happiest days of my life. July 28th, 2007, Jamie and I had our second child, Tanner. Just before having him, I decided I was going to quit my job and become a stay-at-home mom. I was so very excited about this opportunity. August 18th, 2009, Abigail came into our lives. I thought to myself, what am I going to do with a daughter? I was worried God was going to punish me with a little girl who I thought would follow in my footsteps in a negative way. I thought long and hard, definitely did not want my baby girl taking the path I had taken. At this time, Jamie and I were struggling in our marriage after a job loss and financial pressure was building. I decided to get a job, which I was working many hours, straining our relationship even more. Then one day, there was a knock at my door. House was going crazy. Dogs were barking. Jamie answered. And until recently, I didn't know who it was, but I found out it was Jamie Hansen. She was inviting Tanner to come to Vacation Bible School. I'd never thought of putting my kids in VBS before. After talking it over, we decided to try it out. Tanner might have some fun. So I walked him up to the school, and I was overwhelmed by the kindness of people. We got introduced to Pastor Greg, who chatted with us briefly and invited us to attend church that following Sunday, and how he would like to get to know our family more. We had never been happy with any church we've ever attended. Either it was too big and got lost in the crowd, or always asking for money constantly that we didn't have to give. We never left with any kind of satisfaction, so we decided not to go to any church. That was until we met Greg and the High Point family. So that following Sunday, we decided to go. We were greeted by so many people. I had never felt so welcome anywhere as a visitor. As we sat through the service, Jamie and I both felt like we're the only people in the room. Felt like Greg was inside our minds telling our story. So we continued to go, and the more we went, the more we enjoyed and felt like we could call this our home church. One night we met with Greg in our home and told our story. He was not judgmental in any way, and he reassured me that I am not the only one who feels this way, the way I do, and with the love of God, I can overcome anything. At this point in time, I knew I wanted God in my life. It just didn't know how to proceed and was scared. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the last baptism service since I had to work pretty much every Sunday. Jamie came home and was telling me about one specific testimony that made him think of me and my life. So he got a hold of Greg and asked him to get the audio so I can listen to it. That was the testimony of Kara Lloyd. As I was listening to her, I began to cry. Parts of her story were my story. That next Sunday, Jamie introduced me to Kara. I talked to her for a bit, and tears began to flow over again. Over the next few weeks, we talked more and become friends. So I want to say thank you, Kara, for your testimony. It led me to believe I can really do this. Her encouragement to follow God and the good things will come into my life. Weeks following, we got more and more involved with the church, involved in a Thursday morning Bible study. Weeks following, we got more and more involved in church. I got involved in a Thursday morning Bible study, which was very much outside my comfort zone. I had never done this before, nor have I ever had the desire to. I truly believe God has come into my life for a reason, to turn my life around and get salvation. I want to be a better wife to my husband, a better mother to my children, a better friend, and the person God wants me to be. And I believe with God in my life, all things are possible. On January 9th, 2013, I was laying in bed one early morning after work, and I found God speaking to me, and I began to think out my testimony. That afternoon, I sat at my computer and began to type. I found myself confessing my sins and asking Jesus Christ into my life. The words are flowing freely, and I felt a weight lifted off my chest. God came into my life, and I accepted Christ. I am super excited to see what things are in my future, and with the help of Pastor Greg, my husband Jamie, my mentor and friend Kara, my family, and my High Point family, I believe I can achieve this.
Rebecca, praise the Lord. Look at that. Look at that hug. It's so cool to see what God is doing. You're not even going to be able to speak, are you? You're in trouble. Hey, let the Holy Spirit speak for you. And the Holy Spirit wrote things down for you.
I was not able to borrow an iPad like my wife this morning, so please bear with me. My name is Jamie White, and I'm here today to share my testimony on how I got here today. Today is lucky number 13. Before me, I have 13 dates written down that I have brought me here today. All but two, I know the exact dates, so if you please bear with me. I was born an only child in a one-parent home. My mother and father were not married. I grew up not knowing who my father was. Growing up, though, however, I think I was a pretty good kid. When I started junior high, that's when it all changed. My mother had her hands full with me. She had to work two jobs to support us. And when she was at work, I was off and running, doing anything and everything that I wanted to do. So once after a knockdown, drag-out fight with her, sometime around my 18th birthday in 1991, I demanded to know about my father. She had set up a meeting for me to meet him. And I remember walking into a crowded restaurant, scanning the room, and seeing him stand up. Instantly, I knew this was my dad. He had welcomed me into his home, his family. See, he'd been married and had two other children. I was accepted with the whole family with open arms by them, all the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the grandparents, all of them. And that scared the crap out of me. So after a few months, a couple years, I really don't know how much time, I ran away. For I didn't know how to deal with this, so for the next several years of my life, it just became a blank space and time for me. I was partying, drinking, changing jobs every few months. I had nothing stable in my life. So on September 2nd, 2000, this is the day that I met my wife. We were at a friend's birthday party. I was told there was going to be a gal there looking for something, romance, a boyfriend. I really didn't know. But there was one girl in particular that caught my eye, and I'd asked a friend of mine, we were off to the side, who this was, and if this was the girl he was talking about. Instantly, as she walked in, he answers no, very sternly. At that time, Rebecca had walked in. We were introduced and chatted for a moment and walked our separate ways. We had several common friends that thought we might be good together. So in early January 2001, I called and asked her out for lunch. On January 10th, 2001, we went to lunch. We enjoyed our time together and began to carry on a strong bond. After that, we'd spent a lot of time getting to know each other. I also learned that she had a young son named Jordan, who over the time I've watched the seed grow into a young man. See, Rebecca was married when we first met, and that made things really complicated. I spent a lot of time early being a shoulder to cry on, an ear that would listen, and anything she needed me to be. After the end of her divorce, I started to see us more as a family and develop a relationship with each other. So on December 25th, 2003, with Jordan's help, I asked her to marry me. We spent the next 10 months planning our big day, and when it got here, it was awesome. I had everything I needed. However, since our marriage, I had everything I needed at that time. However, since our marriage, we've had our share of ups and a lot of downs. However, we kept a promise to each other to make things work. We had our second child, Tanner, July 28, 2007, and once again, our lives changed. Rebecca, at that time, as you all know now, decided to stay at home and not go back to work. I was doing very well at my job. Income was not a problem. Our marriage and our family was better, and our family was growing. We had the American dream. And on August 18, 2009, Abigail Lenora was born, and Daddy's girl. She developed to be, again, another huge challenge in our life, but we seemed to conquer it. So again, in either late July or early August, there was a knock at my door. Kids were running around. I was upstairs. The dogs were barking. There were some strangers at our door asking us to come to Willowbrook Elementary for a Bible camp for school-age children. Rebecca and I had thought this was a good for Tanner to go because he was going to start kindergarten at this school later that month. So on August 6, 2001, when I was driving home, I was all wound up. I'd had a rough day. I was mad at the world. I looked over at the field and seen a field full of kids over there. And I'd realized Tanner was not one of them. I flew home, flew through the house. An argument started. Where was the sign-up sheet? We had failed to sign him up. It had already started. So after finding the paperwork, I called the number on it. The gentleman answered the phone with a calm voice and said, "Bring him on up." The gentleman that answered the phone certainly had a lot more patience than I did. So Rebecca walked him up. After that, he wanted to go back the next day and the next day. So on the last day, I went up there. Tanner had been talking about a guy named Walter, the wise man. So the last day, I got to meet Walter, the wise man. And I also got to meet the guy that answered the phone. It was Pastor Greg. After the program was ended, there was an ice cream social. I started to mingle. Rebecca was at work. I started to mingle. Everybody I came in contact with made me feel very welcome. So that next weekend, we decided to come to church, which was August 12, 2012. I don't remember a lot about the service, except for what Greg was talking about things that were consuming our lives. And I thought that was us. That was me and Rebecca. It's how we were living our lives. Everything was just consuming us. The next few weeks, I came to church by myself. And if anybody knows me, I'm a social butterfly, but I am scared of being up here or coming into a building that I don't know anybody. It was the third or fourth service. They did baptism testimonies. And during that service, three people stood as I am today. Kara, Jimmy, and Shelby, all with different stories, but they all were the same. I could close my eyes and see myself in all three. It was odd but amazing on how it seemed again. We were the only ones in the room. After the service, I talked and begged with my wife for her to change her work schedule so she could witness what was going on. I even got a recording sent to my email so Rebecca could listen to it. See, at this time in our marriage, we were at a very, very deep low. Divorce had been talked about, and I do believe that if High Point did not come into our lives, that would have happened. It made us realize that we were living a life of sin, and that's all we had was the sin that we were doing. See, there's a lot of great things that have happened in my life. However, before these times, I had a great amount of sin. Before meeting Rebecca, during our marriage, and when I ran away from my father and his family, I was as self-focused as anybody. I did a lot of things wrong. I drank a lot. I smoked pot. I lied. I cheated. I stole to give myself happiness and satisfaction. I felt I was not a good child, husband, or a father. Even to this day, I question, what am I doing right? But now I believe there is something better. I believe that Christ has died for my sins, and that I have asked for his forgiveness, and that he has a plan for us. I've heard a few people tell their testimonies from one time or another that something had happened. They fell down on their knees. Lightning struck, confetti, something happened. But on October 30, 2012, while I was at work in the middle of my day, I decided what I was waiting for to happen was already in motion. It may not be as dramatic as I thought it would be, so I stopped and just decided to confess to Jesus he was Lord and died for our sins, and God raised him from the dead. That was the easy part. The hard part was opening my heart, but this was what was already in the works. High Point Church, Pastor Greg, our church family, they were the messengers of his word and helped me accepting the change in my life. This walk is not going to be an easy one, so I'm asking for everybody's help to keep me straight. And Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And today is my day.
Thank you. Thanks, Jamie. Okay, hang in there. Are these not awesome? Are they not precious? Okay, we have a couple more. Ron, why don't you make your way up? He is not nervous one iota. Okay? Yeah, no, you can't do it another time. Ron, these people want to hear your story, all right? So here you go.
My name's Ron McLaren, and I came up in a good home, family of 10. I was born, raised Catholic. I did not have any interest in drugs and basically had a very adventurous life. While going to school, I was a health fanatic, played sports, could be found most of the time in high school in weight room. However, having five older brothers, I learned a lot about women. I started having sexual relations at a very young age. I could never stay faithful to one woman. I always had a backup. I think the first time God wanted to intervene, just prior to my first marriage, I was dating two women. Seriously, they lived about 60 miles apart. Well, at least they thought it was seriously. To make a long story short, they both had medical procedures they had to have done. They wound up in the same hospital and in the same room. What are the chances of that? I end up marrying one of them. However, sexual sin caused a divorce. This whole thing was like 30 years. I'm trying to give it in a couple minutes. After going through a series of bad relationships, I ended up buying a small home in Des Moines. I don't have a day like Greg does, but I do remember the year. It was 2002. I remember laying in bed. At this time, I had no relationships going on. But the faces of all the women that I hurt, all the lies that I've told, it just came. It was a heavy burden. I remember getting out of bed, getting on my knees, and I asked Jesus to make a presence in my life and to forgive me for my sins. It was longer than just a couple minutes. It was like an all-night thing. However, the next day when I got up, I felt a great relief. Not shortly after that, I met my wife, Brenda. And we dated for a couple years. Evidence of that. That God came into my life. I always never felt the need for a backup. We've been dating for 2 years, been married for 7. And we'll be going on 8. Coming here soon. My family told Brenda that she made all these changes in me. However, I think that night had a lot to do with it. That's my story.
Was that not powerful? Ron, you did great. I won't make you come back up. But do you guys see why it's important that everyone shares their testimony? Did he speak into your life? I hope he did. He spoke into mine. Brenda, close us up.
I did not grow up in a Christian family at all. I was a farmer's daughter, worked hard, didn't go to church at all, didn't pray, didn't even lead a Christian life. But if you ask my parents if we were religious people or Christ followers, they would tell you yes, because we worked hard. We weren't mean people, we didn't crimes. So I just grew up thinking, okay, that's a Christian. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to follow the Bible, any of that. And so I grew up drinking before the legal age, having sexual relationships before I was married. And I was a pretty selfish person growing up. Not exactly a nice person. And I led that lifestyle into my first marriage. My first marriage, I had Nathan, who unfortunately cannot be here today. He's with his dad this weekend. And that's kind of the first time I thought I wanted to have Christ in my life, because I didn't have that growing up, and I wanted that for my son. So the hypocrite that I was, I sent him to a private Christian school. born Christian from preschool up until it would have been last year, his freshman year. And for those of you in our study group, you know that Nathan has a few issues of his own. That's why he's not going to school there anymore. And I thought then sending him there was a way that I could find Christ, but something was still lacking. And his dad and I were having marital problems, and we got divorced when Nathan was in first grade. Shortly after that, or during the end of my marriage, I met Ron. And the one thing that Nathan and his dad and I did not have was the mutual agreement of going to church. We tried. I ended up going to church by myself, and at home we did not lead the Christian life, even though Nathan was going to a Christian school. I felt very uncomfortable when we went to the school and we did activities with the school because everyone around us were Christian, God-following people, but we weren't. So I didn't really know how to act or anything like that. But when I met Ron, we both agreed that was something that we wanted in our lives, was God. So we went to a church. Short course for us, it was all about close. So we went to a Methodist church that wasn't very far from where we live. We liked the church. It was one of those churches that pretty much didn't teach the word at all. We were there for a good year. And I find myself a lot of days talking to Mark at work. Mark and I work together. We have for a lot of years. I think God brought him into my life for a reason. We'd set talk a lot at work. You know, we were supposed to be working. And he would just ask me a few questions, and I would answer him. And he just kind of looked at me like, okay. And I'm like, I knew something was off. So one day we just got to talk, and I said, you know, I'd really like to do a Bible study sometime. He's like, why don't you do a Bible study with Don and I? I was like, okay, Ron and I will do that. So we did. It was in March of 2012. And that's the first time I met Greg, and it was awesome. We left there that day, and I won't forget, Ron, we left, and Ron looks at me, and he goes, you want to leave the church and go to Greg's, don't you? I was like, yes. It was just something hit me that day. And I think it was because Greg actually was speaking the word. So when he says that, it is the truth. It just, that day changed my life. Greg changed my life. Mark changed my life. Donna changed my life. And Ron, of course, did too. So we started going, we kind of were going between this church and the Methodist church. Finally, we decided at the Methodist church, Ron and I were leading the youth group. So that was hard because we had to leave the kids, but we decided this is where we needed to be. This is where we wanted to be. This actually taught the word. So it was on October 24th, 2012. I work at home on Wednesdays, and over my lunch hour, I like to go out to YouTube and download Christian songs. I'm kind of done with the headbang. And I'm really getting into getting all these new songs and listening to music. And there was a song that I listened to, Thank You, Jesus. If you've never seen the video, you have to watch it. It brought me to my knees. It's like a light bulb went off. It's like, wow, this is what it's all about. This is what Jesus did for me. And I started crying, and I asked him to forgive me for all of my sins and to come into my life. And that's, I wrote Greg that day email, and I was like, I don't know if it was email or text, I can't remember for sure, but I just said, wow, I get it. And so October 24th, 2012 is the day. And since then, I've been really trying hard to lead the lifestyle that he would want me to lead. I love study group. I pray daily where I never prayed before. I'm reading the Bible, and I've cut out swearing. Although my son brings out the worst. So every once in a while I slip. He'll say, but this morning my reading, and this is how I'm going to end my testimony. Because that's one thing Mark and I talked about. You can read the Bible out how many times, and depending on what you're going through that day, the verse means something different. Or you read it once and then read it again. It's like, oh, okay. Well, this morning in my reading, Psalm 19, verse 14, the and said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my
Redeemer." Praise God. You know, again, that verse says, "Come and hear, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." You know, I have no doubt there are people in this room that have nothing to say. They have nothing to say because they've never asked Jesus to do what they have done, which is ask Jesus to save them from their sins, to remove the wrath that they deserve. And I'm begging you today that God wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of the burden you're carrying. No matter what lifestyle you've lived, no matter what you've done, Christ died on the cross for your sins. That is good news. That's the gospel. And there is nothing, no work, no good deed you can do to get you to heaven other than to believe that Jesus died for your sins. Would today be your day of salvation, your testimony day? My prayer is that there'd be some of you today that will be able to share what Jesus has done for your soul. God bless all four of those testimonies for God's glory. God did the changing. And the church is the vehicle to bring the gospel. Praise God for the vehicle. Praise God for Jesus. Let's give them a round of applause again. Why don't you guys stand up? Matt, you know what? This is a longer service than normal, but is that okay? Is that okay that it's a little bit longer? Give me an amen. Okay, I want to end with a song. Now, normally, if we're going a little late, we won't end with a song. Darn it, I want to sing. I want to sing the joy of the Lord. So, Matt, come on up and sing, and then I'll close us in prayer.
When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Thank you for coming to service this morning and witnessing the baby dedication, child dedication, and the testimonies of four precious people. And thank you so much. Right now, I'm going to have a word of prayer. But after this, you are all invited to Adventureland Inn, where these four will be baptized, and we have five more that will share a brief testimony of their salvation and be baptized as well. So I think we have about 10 baptisms. Food is provided, and we would just love for you to come and enjoy this. So right after service, just relax for a little bit. We'll put things away. But at about 11:30, Adventureland Inn, we'll begin the time over there. So let's have a word of prayer. After we're done, just stay for just a second. We need to have a photo for our incorporation service. So you're all going to be in a picture, okay? You can do this. Okay, so smile. So let's put your head down. We're going to pray real quick. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, for your presence in our lives. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for doing that work of salvation. And Father, I pray for the parents. Lord, I'm so grateful that we have godly moms and dads. Single moms, single dads that want to raise their kids in godly homes to know Jesus as their Savior. Father, protect them. Give them the guidance that they need for your glory. And then, Lord, for the testimonies, for the four this morning and the five more to come, God, it is for your glory. It's for your Son's name that we point people to your Son. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.